Now, if you want to get an idea of how our sense of food is changing, check the cookbook shelf in your local bookstore. Now, this is not your grandma's kitchen collection. And what's on those shelves is shaped not so much by authors, but by the least known part of the book world, the book editor. Now, editors buy what the book publishers eventually print. The grand dame of food editors is Judith Jones. Now, she's a study in herself. She started with Julia Child some 40 years ago and never looked back. Judith is now in her 80s, has two new books up for awards, has received a Lifetime Achievement Award, and has a unique perspective on the food book. Judith Jones is vice president and senior editor at Alfred Knopf Publisher. Judith, it's good to have you back with us.
Well, it's nice to be here and to talk with you.
Now, you were working with writers like John Updike, Sylvia Plath. You brought The Diary of Anne Frank into print. What took you to cookbooks? It seems a bit of a stretch.
Well, it surprised me, too. But, you know, an editor follows her own bliss, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. That something that fascinates me. Why isn't there an audience out there for it? And I had always loved food, loved cooking, and my 3.5 years in France just confirmed that. But I was frustrated because I found cookbooks so ungiving, just short little formulas, and mostly boasted about how many recipes there were, not the quality of the recipes and what they taught you. And I wanted to do some of that wonderful French cooking that I just had been a part of my life. And I didn't find anyone to guide me. So I was open to that masterpiece that came across my desk, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. And I think it was a seminal book. For me, it really changed the way cookbooks were written. And I wanted to get more of the same thing, mastering Italian regional foods, Chinese cooking, Japanese cooking, Middle Eastern. So it was kind of a natural step for me.
How do you work with a writer?
Well, I work very closely because I want that writer to have a voice. I want to hear exactly how he or she does a particular thing. There's nothing really so new in this world about a recipe. It's an evolving thing, and somebody puts his imprint on it. Lydia Bastianich is a very good example. She'd had a couple of cookbooks, but she hadn't had somebody really encouraging her to communicate, and that's exactly what she does on television. But I would say, how come you're pushing away those vegetables in the big sauté pan? She'd say, well, I want a little dry hot spot, and I'm going to plop in a little bit of tomato paste, and I'm going to toast it in that dry place. Huh. Well, that was totally novel to me. And the idea of toasting that paste enriches, intensifies the flavor.
It's a totally different flavor.
One little gesture, but it's important. And all those tricks are so important.
So, you know, this, you hear this a lot when you're writing about things. You hear about the writer's voice. But a lot of times people who have wonderful ideas for cookbooks are not necessarily writers. So how do you bring that out?
And they're afraid to write. And
yeah.
So they turn it over to a writer, and that's not good. And the writer usually just gets a rough copy and isn't watching that person cook. So I think part of that is because chefs are busy. They're big stars today. And they get a big contract for a cookbook, and then they hire somebody to do it. And it's not much of a book. I mean, years ago, I did a book with Edna Lewis, the wonderful Southern writer from Virginia. And she had actually come with a collaborator who was going to work with her. And they had one book, but as we were talking, I kept asking questions about where she grew up in her childhood and what formed her strong feelings about food. And she was just wonderful talking. And I said, go away and let's see, put some of that down. And the person who was writing with her faithfully sort of tried to transcribe, but it wasn't Edna. It wasn't that person who just had me, you know, riveted as she was telling these stories. And so I said, Edna, you should be doing that book alone. And her co-author got up and said, you're absolutely right, and I'm going to bow out. And
how gracious.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And we did it by having Edna come. She was working at the Natural History Museum, and she had Thursday afternoons off, and she would come every Thursday afternoon, and we'd talk. And I'd say, Edna, go home and write it. And she would just write it on a big yellow legal pad, and it all came.
Is there a book you wish you had done?
Yeah, I would have loved to do Diana Kennedy, for instance. I think
the Mexican Food Authority.
Because what I came to see, that writers who really write for home cooks are very often displaced people who are in search of their past. They want to recover it, to celebrate it, and to share it with you and me. And those ethnic foods tend to get buried when they come to America. But these people wanted to not lose their past mm-hmm. and to recreate it. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of people like Claudia Roden with her books about the Middle East.
An Egyptian Jew. She was raised in Egypt. She's Jewish.
Yes, yeah. Grew up in Cairo, and suddenly her family, whole family was displaced, and she was in Paris, and so she wrote to all the relatives and friends that she could and said, how did you make this? How did you make that? And she started recording it. But she has a beautiful passage in that first Middle Eastern book about when they would sit down to these meals, all the memories that would come back. And that's a very important factor. I remember Bill Neal, the Southern writer, said, our food tells us who we are and where we come from. And that's what I wanted to capture in these writers.
Judith Jones, thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been fun to talk to you.